Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Al Kushner, author of The AI LinkedIn Advantage, Unleash the Power of AI and Dominate the Competition. Al has over two decades of experience using LinkedIn as a growth engine for business owners and professionals, starting long before the platform became mainstream. Originally from Brooklyn and now based in Florida, he began his career in insurance sales and quickly built a reputation as a connector, communicator, and strategist. His latest book blends two worlds that matter profoundly for family-governed B2B companies: how to tell your story and how to use AI to do it with clarity and efficiency. Today, Al works one-on-one with business owners, associations, and leadership teams to help them optimize their digital presence, build authority, and unlock opportunities on LinkedIn using practical, human-centered AI tools. Al, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Thank you, Ed. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So you're an early adopter of the LinkedIn platform. Myself, too. I was on the platform when it was not too old, but been using LinkedIn since, I guess, 2006. And that was long before a lot of business owners even took it seriously. What drew you to the platform? What was it that made that immediate connection for you?
Well, I think comparing to other platforms I looked at, this was more of a serious way to connect with people who are business owners, B2B. Other platforms really doesn't really come close to that. So it just seemed to be a natural fit for what I was looking to achieve.
Okay, cool. So your journey started in insurance, sales, and then consulting. Where did you first realize you had a talent for helping people tell their stories and build reputations online?
I've been using LinkedIn for quite a while, and I realized that it's such a powerful platform that I think there was a lot of people that I could share my knowledge and insight with to help them grow their business. And it just seemed like a natural transition to do that.
Cool. So bringing this around to the family B2B entity, which is what our show is all about, many of those companies, in some cases, very specialized, very established, and they rely heavily on word of mouth. To what extent do you see LinkedIn as being a powerful extension of that legacy and an extension of that reputation?
Very simple. If you are not having a presence on LinkedIn, your competition is. So you basically are going to lose out if you don't get started with getting your LinkedIn up and running. And optimize is the way to do it. So I help a lot of business owners create a presence on the platform and even become thought leaders, because that's really what's going to set them apart. And that's why if you're talking about word of mouth, you can't get better word of mouth than LinkedIn.
Very true. When we were talking before, you had mentioned that LinkedIn can be a time drain if it's not used correctly. So what are some of the mistakes that you see business leaders make on the platform that may not be an efficient use of time or maybe the best use of allocating their LinkedIn time?
Very simple. When they're trying to do outreach where their profile is not optimized, people will go ahead and try to jump the gun and they can't. It's like you're building a house. You have a foundation. You have to have support. And if you don't have that, then people are not going to take you seriously for the moment. If anything, they'll make you, you'll become like a spammer, and LinkedIn will notice it and perhaps even block your account as a result of it. So those are just things right off the top I see mistakes people make.
So what are the things that you look for to ensure that someone's profile is set up properly?
We look at a current headshot, of course, a background image that is helpful to talk about some of the points they're trying to get across, create content, which is ideal because content is king on the platform, and using AI technology can give you a lot of opportunities to do that. Create ideas for articles, ideas for scripts you can write, help develop a newsletter on LinkedIn, which is a very powerful tool and it's free to use. In fact, you can do up to five newsletters at a time, which is great. In addition, you can join groups on LinkedIn so you can connect with people who are like-minded or the target audience you're looking to do and provide value to whoever you're connecting with. So that's right off the top.
So you brought up two very interesting topics that I'd like to maybe touch on a little more. So I remember when LinkedIn introduced the whole newsletter concept, and then I heard a lot about it, and then it went away, but it didn't really go away. Do you still see that as a viable channel of communication? Do you think there's, from what you can see, conviction behind the LinkedIn organization to support that platform? And a follow-up to that would be groups. Like, sometimes groups seem cool, sometimes they seem like there's like low level of participation. Can you comment on either or both of those for us, Al?
All right, let's start with the first one. LinkedIn's newsletter is one of the most underutilized tools available and most powerful tool because the fact is that when you send on a LinkedIn, the people who are following that receive a notification immediately on LinkedIn as well as outside of LinkedIn too, directly into their inboxes. And because LinkedIn has such a high authority, it usually bypasses a lot of spam filters that have been set up to prevent these things from happening. And LinkedIn just goes right through a red carpet, come on in. And that's great because a newsletter is establish yourself as a thought leader. You're providing value to whoever you're connecting with. You want to be a thought leader, you got to provide content. Newsletter is a great opportunity to do that. I send out newsletters once a week, and people look forward to what I have to say,
So
which is
you can
awesome.
actually set the does the member of the newsletter group have to set that parameter that they receive it via email, or is that something that's preset, if you will?
That's preset. So if they're subscribing to it, when you release a newsletter, they get notified both on LinkedIn and
Oh, okay.
by email. So
I see. Got it, got it. And then what's your take on groups these days? Do you see them active, inactive, good idea, not a good idea? What are your thoughts?
I think groups are, depending on the size of the group, you want to obviously have a sizable group because you have a lot more potential for outreach. And you should select groups that are really who your target audience is. For example, I work with a lot of our referral partners. So I have accountants groups I'm part of, attorney groups, financial planning groups, insurance groups, even event planners as well. So I always make myself known there by at least sharing something, at least not once a week, but sometimes 3 times a week. For example, recently I just did a poll in a group that was comprised of, I believe, accountants and CPAs. They have a fairly large, sizable group, over 500,000 members. And my recent poll had got close to, I don't know, 6,000 views, which was pretty impressive. And I've gotten responses, I would say about 160 responses to that poll. So is it effective? Oh, yeah, I would say so. Polls are definitely a great tool to use in groups. And that's just one of the things that I enjoy about the
That's a
feedback.
good idea. So, getting around to your book, one of the things that you break down in the book is the difference between AI and automation. So, again, bringing this back to the family-governed business, how should a family business leader think about AI as a creative tool rather than a shortcut?
It's a creative tool because you are looking for ideas for content. And the fact is that if you do it in a way, you can come across being authentic by putting your own input into that. Or just use it as a tool, not as an end all. Because if you do it the other way, people will see right through that. And that's going to compromise your ability to be trustworthy for the most part.
And there's certainly some, for those of us that have been using AI for some years, there's definitely some notable giveaways when something's been AI generated without any editing, such as the infamous in-text emojis. Long dashes also seem to be a ChatGPT.
Yeah, M dashes. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
common, as well as
But
other things. There's so many things that, and people are really skeptical about this using AI technology. But if you use it the right way and use multiple platforms, not just ChatGPT, there's a whole host of other great AI technology out there that can actually give you much more leverage compared to your usual.
So when oftentimes when a family business is either modernizing from a marketing presence, from a brand presence, or modernizing in terms of embracing a more digitally oriented marketing tool set, there can sometimes be some generational clash. So it's the new generation coming in using the new tools. The old generation's like used to doing things the old way. And when you see that kind of scenario, when you see, and it may even be as simple as there's two halves of a company population, some that are a little bit more progressive and AI oriented, and others that are hesitant or resistant or maybe even a little afraid. How do you bridge that chasm?
Very easy. I just simply tell them that you're in a competitive situation and your competition is going to be ahead of you if you don't go ahead and start acting now. And they'll see that the reason why they're losing business is because their competition has a presence on LinkedIn. They're active. They are able to convince people that they're trustworthy. So that really makes a difference. So they don't have a choice. It's just either move forward or get left behind.
When it comes to that, maybe reluctant or maybe somewhat hesitant business leader who wants to start that foray into AI, what are some of the more practical, simple tools that they could start to explore or start to utilize to start to build either content or ideas or other workflows relative to the LinkedIn platform?
A lot of good platforms, as you mentioned, ChatGPT is one example. I like Perplexity. I like Jasper. I like recently Gemini has been really taking a great stand. And I think that's probably the real winner and underutilized because amazing features, particularly creating AI agents, which is a really incredible tool.
And I think we may have touched on this. We had spoken before about some of the automation platforms that either Chrome extensions or other plugins to LinkedIn. Do you have a position on those, or you think those are a good idea, a bad idea? I know to some degree LinkedIn platform discourages them, but I do know that they exist.
They may exist, but it'll compromise your account if you use these automation tools. That's what I find in my experience. Because the people who are selling these tools, they couldn't care less whether your account is closed as a result of it. They're there to make money. Buyer beware, I would say.
And I think they seem to come in ebbs and flows across my tenure of using LinkedIn. I can almost see like moments in time where it seems like everybody's using them, and then everybody stops, and then they come back to them and they stop. So I don't know if
Yes.
that's falls in cadence with LinkedIn cracking down or something. I've never really looked that deeply into it, but I have noticed that I see them in these little mini waves across time. I don't know.
Yeah.
You've worked with so many business owners one-on-one. What is it that usually unlocks that aha moment when they really said, "Wow, I get it. I understand now what you've been trying to tell me, how LinkedIn really matters and it matters in a big way." What usually unlocks that awakening for them?
I would say the increase of followers that they have on LinkedIn. I would say the postings that they are doing are receiving more views and more commentary, which is incredible for them on their point because they never think that LinkedIn was something that could actually make them money. And they realize that it can. With the right tools, they can be a powerful force on the platform.
One of the topics in your book that there's a lot of attention to is the personal profile optimization. So getting your profile right. And we touched on that earlier in the conversation, where you can have all this activity, but if they're coming back to the wrong type of profile, it could be wasted effort. If you had to say, hey, if nothing more, do these top three things to optimize your profile, what would be like the top three must-haves, like non-negotiables for establishing a strong LinkedIn profile?
Obviously, there's a lot more than that, but I think what I look for in a profile for me, most importantly, is the recommendations that the person received. If a person
Okay.
has been on a platform for over 20 years and they only have, what, five or six recommendations, that's a red flag right there. And I always advocate that's a third-party endorsement is crucial because it's about building trustworthiness. That's what's all. People throw up fake profiles all the time, and you can see right through that. And they can have a great headshot, and they can have an optimized background image, and maybe a keyword enhanced title across the name. But I go right to the meat and potatoes here. I go right to the recommendations. If I see that they don't have anything or very little, for me, it gives me doubts whether I want to even work with this individual because it just seems they're not really trustworthy.
And when you're assessing or working with a client on optimizing their LinkedIn presence, are you strictly focusing on their personal profile, or are you sometimes getting into their corporate profile as well?
I would do both, depending on the size of the company. If they have a fairly sizable, because I work with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, they have a fairly large workforce, and we create a company page that represents who they are. And of course, they have employees that may want to post to that company page, and that is different from a personal page. And I find that having both have its pros and cons. But those are the two aspects. If they have a company page, we help develop that, work on a strategy for outreach, and make sure it's optimized so whoever stops by the page recognizes this is a real business and not something that's fly by night. So those are just things that I look at.
And it would, my experience has been typically an individual's reach in terms of following or connections is often much grander than a company's reach in terms of followers and connections, save for maybe some of the largest, like the Fortune 500s, where the corporate page will be have a fairly extensive followership. One of the things that always seems challenging is to inspire members of that, they say, smaller entity team to repost stuff from the corporate page onto their personal profiles to extend that reach. Do you ever run into that where that people are reluctant to, where there's a team in play, they're reluctant to reshare or repost or extend the reach of some of the corporate communications on their personal profiles?
I think it just depends on their relationship with the company, and if the company has them doing a strategy that they want to do outreach, and maybe part of their job is to create content for the company or share something that, something that they arrange with the company itself. Whether they do it on their own, a lot of people are not really motivated unless they're paid to do that.
Understood. Getting back around to the family governed business, some companies do this, some don't, when it comes to showcasing legacy or generational continuity. In some cases, it's very much a marketed asset. In some cases, it seems like that they're less inclined to be visible with that if they're, say, a second or a third generation leader or something like that. How do you see LinkedIn helping to turn legacy into competitive advantage?
I would say that if they want to create themselves as a thought leader, that is a great platform because it really establishes a precedence. You have a company page and you have a personal page. And I find that a lot of times that if they're not doing that, the competition is, and they're going to be losing out on the opportunities. And I think with AI technology, there's no excuse not to take advantage of some of the ways that it helps create content and creates, it can analyze your company page and see the problems it may face. So AI is really a great way to level the playing field where they're competing with some of the big Fortune 500 companies. They have access to these tools that could help make a difference to them standing out and creating that legacy.
We talked before about AI not necessarily replacing human communications, but making it more effective. When thinking about some of the clients you've worked with, some that might be in a very niche-y B2B space, something very techy or niche-y, what is effective use of AI when trying to build authority in a very niche or technical B2B segment or space?
The best use is to creating content to have consistency. If you do a newsletter at least once a week, I think is definitely helpful. Also, be part of groups. That may be something that would help you to do networking. It also helps in outreach because if you're connecting with someone who you may not have a relationship with, but they may be part of your group, they may be more inclined to accept your invitation to connect.
Okay. There are some leaders and some we've talked to that some use AI extensively. Some are, as I say, a little bit skeptical and they fear that AI will, if they use AI as a way to work their communications or work their messaging, there's a fear that it might sound too generic or too AI, let's say. So, what are the best ways to maintain an authentic voice while still using AI and just using AI as an accelerator, really?
I would say have access to multiple AI platforms. Just rely on ChatGPT. I use at least five different platforms that help me to construct a effective outreach email or newsletter that will provide different aspects because every AI technology has its strengths and weaknesses. So if you rely on just one, you're going to be really setting yourself up for disappointment when you do outreach and people will see right through that.
So I'm an avid LinkedIn user, so I work on the platform, but I don't always have occasion to dive into the platform. Is LinkedIn itself tinkering with an AI? Are there AI components to the LinkedIn platform or some that you anticipate will be coming on stream shortly?
I think they are certainly taking advantage of using AI technology. I think they're just experimenting to see which one resonates well with people who are connected on there. So I probably would imagine they probably will develop a more stronger AI presence.
Okay. Overall, your approach is very much kind of concentric, relationship centric. How do you instruct your clients on finding the right balance between AI and that genuine personal touch?
I simply let them know that AI is a tool that they can use and have access to. It'll save them time. It'll give them ideas for creating content or scripts. So if they embrace AI technology as something that's going to help them become a thought leader on the platform, I think they will, for the most part, accept that, that it's a great tool to use. And most of the major companies out there nowadays are embracing AI technology and investing in it. So it's obviously the direction that's what businesses should be taking.
Do you see any other platforms coming along that might take on LinkedIn's position, as LinkedIn seems to be the dominant platform for business and industrial professionals? Do you see any platforms that are looking to go after that share or cut into that leadership position?
Not that I've seen, and I've been on the platform for quite some time. If anything, I think LinkedIn is encroaching on other platforms and using some of their, for example, when you're looking at the LinkedIn videos, that's become a growing part of the algorithm. And
Sure.
before, it wasn't really at all. So I think they recognize that. And the more people that stay on LinkedIn, the more that they benefit from their people's ability to connect with others.
Cool. In your past, you came out of industries where certainly you had to have professional and technical acumen, but really one could say where trust was everything, right? If people didn't trust you, they weren't going to work with you. How has that shaped the way you coach clients on building that trust themselves, but doing so digitally? Like through the LinkedIn platform or using AI.
As I mentioned, creating content that's going to resonate with your followers or your subscribers is going to make a difference. You create articles, newsletters, videos. These are all ways to establish yourself as a thought leader.
Okay, cool. So if we talk about the year ahead, so we're coming up to into 2026. What are the trends that you think are going to really stand out as shining spots for the LinkedIn platform as it relates to the family-run B2B company? So what are the trends that, like, hey, these are really going to matter, and maybe these other ones that may be coming are ones that they shouldn't pay as much attention to or should ignore?
I think the fact that they're going to realize that LinkedIn's more than just a place for resumes. I think they're going to realize that businesses, in order to grow, they're going to need to have a presence on the platform. Profiles should be immaculate and optimized. And for those who are not taking it seriously, they're going to be left behind. That's really what I see. So they need to really take it seriously that. In fact, I find nowadays that whenever I connect with people, even at networking events, they ask, "What's your LinkedIn profile?"
Yeah.
Come on. And that's a dead giveaway if you don't have one.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take it more seriously.
So for people that like you, like me, other people that have been avid users on the LinkedIn platform for a decade or longer, what are some of the next level tools that they should be looking at or considering, the more advanced capabilities on LinkedIn that an avid user should be exploring?
I would say Sales Navigator is one of my favorite tools to use. It's a paid premium and allows you to really find your right connections. What I love about it allows you to connect with people who are active on LinkedIn, which the standard regular LinkedIn doesn't allow you to do that. It also notifies you who's looked at your profile. In addition, you can also do searches for certain people you want to connect with. It could be business owners. You can find out the size of the company. You can find out their revenue stream and so many other features that are really robust. So I think by taking advantage of Sales Navigator, I think is a great tool to really create a better outreach.
That's a great point. And I've been a longtime user of Sales Navigator as well. And it's almost hard to keep up with because there's a lot of new tools in the Navigator platform itself that are they're very compelling. It's just, I wish I had time for that. It looks really cool. Some of the
Yeah.
things that you can do and some of the lookup searches. So you can really go down that rabbit hole if you wanted to, but to positive ends, a lot of learning. So your book is definitely gaining traction quickly. Going back to when you started putting it together, what was one lesson from the writing that surprised you or changed the way you think about digital communications? If you take an introspective look, what was something that you, a self-discovery or a lesson that, came to you as you developed the book itself?
Well, I looked at the competition and seeing what was out there, and there was nothing basically combining AI technology and LinkedIn. So I saw an opportunity, and if I didn't act immediately on it, then I'd be too late. I'd be left behind. So that was, for me, an incentive right there. And I've learned by doing research on it that there are a lot of amazing tools on AI, and it's always changing. And the fact that we're in a day, in an age right now, you have access to these tools which normally wouldn't exist years ago. Was incredible. Even producing the book was also helpful because I was able to use it for the audiobook version of my book and using AI technology to actually read the book. It was incredible compared to back in the day when I did my own voiceovers, which were oh, so many hours. You may experience these things, editing and other things. And now it's just a breeze. So it's really incredible. So I learned a lot by writing.
Yeah, voice AI has most certainly come a long way. In fact, in an early episode, I interviewed a conversation bot just to hear what, in this case, it was a female voice, had to say about the family business experience. And it was an interesting journey. That's for sure. With the book out, any plans in the works for a follow-up or a new topic? Anything that's percolating or too soon?
Yeah, I have a podcast actually. It's called the
Okay.
AI Authority Edge, and you can find it on Spotify and as well as Apple. And it
Nice.
drops 4 times a week and talks about latest tools and techniques and how to use LinkedIn and AI technology. So I encourage your listeners to check it out.
That's fantastic. And we'll most certainly drop that in the show notes. Last question, Al. If any of our listeners did want to learn about you, check out the book, check out your podcast, you mentioned that, or any other consulting work you do, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
The book, they can go to Amazon, for example. It's available. Spotify also carries the book, an audiobook version. You can follow me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect. And my website at linkvantage.com. I have also courses available that people can check out. And I have a free optimization worksheet at linkvantage.com/audit. And they can have a free worksheet to optimize their profile. So give them a step in the right direction.
Wow, that's terrific. Thank you for bringing all that up. A lot of great resources. So, to our listeners, please be sure to check all that out. And again, we'll be putting that in the show notes. Al, thanks so much for joining me today and sharing your insights on how AI and LinkedIn can help the family-governed B2B organization tell their story, build authority, and compete ultimately at a higher level. And I think if one theme came through our discussion today, it was really about leveling up to the competition so that they don't best you and you can ultimately best them. Again, we've been speaking with Al Kushner, author of The AI LinkedIn Advantage, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Al, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Ed. Have a good one.
You too. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.